Welcome, family, to the Manifold Witness Podcast, where faith and witness are practiced. I am your spirited host, Oscar Lewis, and I'm joined with my wonderful, beautiful co-host, Alicia Lewis. Alicia, please salutate the people.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
So we want to just welcome you guys who are coming in, chiming in live via Facebook, via YouTube, wherever you're listening from. We're so glad that you're able to be with us. Mm-hmm. You could be doing anything else in the world, but you decided to stop by and show some love. So we want to appreciate you. For those of you, this is your first time here, just to let you know what we do and who we are. You know, our mission is simply to offer you a collection of must-haves in our modern times. So many things are happening in our world today, and we can lose sight of what's truly important. So we want to share our knowledge, and I put quotes around the word share. Why? Because we don't have all the answers.
That's very true.
We don't have all the answers to what's going on in our world today, but you know what? We do have a story ourselves. Mm-hmm. We do have a narrative ourselves. You know, for those of you who know us, you kind of know what our story is. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a background in different fields, I mean, to say the least.
You have a few more fields than I do.
I do. Okay.
Yeah, just a few.
Okay. Well, that, thank you for that, being humble.
Yes.
But my wife is truly, she's a clinician. For those of you who don't know, she's a speech therapist, speech pathologist. Did I say that?
Speech language
pathologist. I always forget the language part though. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's an SLP, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so that's what I'm dealing with. So if you hear my wife trying to correct me in matters of, you know, enunciation. Oh, no. Because, no, what I mean, you guys don't deal with linguistics, do you? You guys don't deal in that, do you?
Oh.
Oh, God. Here we go. I know.
Don't get me.
Okay. I don't want you to go down the rabbit trail. I just want you to kind of let the people know that you are. I just didn't find you at McDonald's somewhere and you was just like.
Right.
Okay. True. All right. You do have a profession.
Yes.
And so, and I've had several professions.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah. And I mean, all legal. Don't judge me.
True.
All legal.
Definitely.
And you know what? I have two graduate degrees, one in business, mm-hmm. right? And one in a Master of Divinity. Mm-hmm. So I've served in the military. All
a part of your journey.
I was a naval officer. All right. I just got out. So, you know, there is some background to who we are and what we do. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we say we want to share our knowledge and our belief with others to help them hopefully navigate through these modern times, because we are living in modern times, if you haven't noticed.
Definitely.
All right. Things are changing. The good old days are gone. All right.
And they weren't that good, but okay.
Okay. And that's anyways. Another story in and of itself. But we are a spirited podcast. We have a certain belief system that mm-hmm. we live by. And, you know, we want to reflect that mm-hmm. to our listeners. So our episodes are really filled with valuable insights, I believe, that you can apply to your everyday life. So if you're looking for some guidance in life and you're looking to live a life, we believe as God intended, we invite you to journey with us. The best way to find us is to go to our website, which is manifoldwitnesspodcast.buzzsprout.com. Did mm-hmm. I get that right, or did I get that right?
Everything. You got it.
All right. So manifoldwitnesspodcast.buzzsprout.com. Just go check it out. You'll see all of our social media platforms that are on that website. Mm-hmm. You'll see that we are pretty much on all the social media platforms. We're on the book, the yes. gram, mm-hmm. Twitter. Mm-hmm. What else are we on? Oh, we are on all, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Apple Podcasts.
Apple, Spotify, whatever.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, we own all that.
You surely don't want to get into this,
okay.
but you know that Facebook has come out with a new, like, I guess, a competition to Twitter.
Oh, okay.
It's called Threads.
Interesting.
We're not on Threads.
Okay, we're not on Threads. No. Okay, so maybe we need to get there.
Let's see how that goes for a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Let's beta test. They're going to have the beta test. Yeah. Just, yeah, okay. But yeah, when that get together, we'll be on that as well. And so we want to thank you all for joining in. And we have just come out of a mini series. Mm-hmm. And we're going into another mini series. All right. And we're going to be, you know, kind of delving into that. Tonight will be, you know, part one. And then we're just going to let that unfold organically. We have a certain framework that we do operate within. It's something that I believe it keeps us structured. It keeps us focused on what we're talking about, you know, so we can really get to a level of understanding. Because I do believe that, you know, we're living in a time of day, people are getting a lot of information, but they have no clue of the information that they're getting.
And is the information factual? That's always.
Oh, yeah.
That's always a question.
Yes. Or objective.
Okay. Yeah.
Something that is, I would say, sustainable. Because some of the stuff you get, it ain't going to matter in 5 years.
Oh, true.
5 years, it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are interested in getting to things that are sustainable, that you can sustain your life with, that, you know, really that has been passed down.
What you mean that knowing the designer that Kim Kardashian wore?
Oh, my God. You said the name. Lord, copyright infringement. Are we doing something wrong?
I'm sorry. that she wore to her third wedding. That's not going to be sustainable. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, look, I'm not getting to the weeds on that, but okay. Hey, that's social life, but things do change.
It's very important to focus on the spiritual.
See, before there was a Kim Kardashian, though, there was a Marilyn Monroe.
True.
See what I'm saying?
Okay.
You see how it changes? Nothing new is going on here. All right. As the saying goes, there's nothing new under the what?
Sun.
There's nothing new, really, people. So just know that. But anyways, I know it's our little icebreaker, for lack of a better term. We're very organic in our approach. Those of you who have been following along with us, our manifold witnesses, that's what we call them. We have a Facebook group that we have started, and, you know, they have been journeying with us since we started. So I want to appreciate you guys for sticking with us. So let's get right into it. You ready to rock?
Let's roll.
So we came out of a series talking about, you know, biblical essentials or biblical foundations. We are a podcast that believes there is a narrative that everybody is living out. So everybody's living out a particular narrative, and people are living their life based off of what they believe. You can't disconnect the two. I'm sorry. Most people function based off of what they believe, their belief system. That's why they act that way.
Right.
That's why they treat people this way. It's because of what they believe about themselves, not only about themselves, but about others.
Others. Mm-hmm.
I agree. We came from that perspective of talking about some foundational things that you need to have in place. All right. So this series deals with, how do we get to where we are today? The certain worldviews that we have is so ingrained into how we view the world and how we live our life. We don't even second guess it. That's how some people live their life. It's routine. Mm-hmm. And so this series goes into how we get to where we are now and how do we assign meaning to our current reality. Maybe things are not quite what it seems. What God is thinking in the midst of all of this and how he is viewing our life and partner and get involved with the story that's being told, the human story that's being told, that humanity has a narrative to it. Okay. This thing is going somewhere. If you haven't noticed, it's going somewhere. So let me ask you a personal question, Alicia. When you hear somebody say to you, man, you know, people in the West, they just different than people in the East. When you hear that term, like people in the West, what comes to mind when you hear that term, that phraseology?
America.
Okay, so you think
for me.
Okay, so you think the United States of America. All right, so good, because most people who think of America, or I should say the West, they think specifically United States of America. Well, primarily the Western world, it is various nations, and the regions are, here it is, Australia, New Zealand, and all the islands in the Pacific Ocean. Also Europe, and of course the Americas. So all of that collectively, it consists of the West.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's okay. The Western world. So the Western world, it was once called Occident. It comes from a Latin term, which means setting down, sunset, or the West.
Okay.
I want you to keep that in your mind. Setting down, sunset. There's a lot of diversity within the West. Okay. A lot of diverse groups. It's not like a rigid region. It can vary from context and perspective. So some historians say that it has been traced back to the Greco-Roman world. That's where the whole culture of the West, the civilization of the West, it really derives from the Greco-Roman world, which we consider in history antiquity. Mm-hmm. That's where we've come to.
Like, okay.
Well, that approach to life is very scientific. The scientific approach is pretty much how we view the world in our society today, have become so routine to us that terms like imagination, when people say use your imagination, that just seems exhausting to people that's in the West. I'm serious. That almost feels like do some more work. Look, I don't have time. I got to go to work tomorrow. Just tell me what I need to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to use my imagination.
You know, well, I wonder why that is, because as kids, that's nothing to use your imagination. That's,
okay.
That's something that seems to me.
It seems like where they live.
Mind the you, realm in which they rule. You, but as you get older, that is something that seems to be diminished.
In the West.
In the West.
Because how we are taught, how we are reared, mm-hmm. how we are taught to view the world. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So imagination is lost. We don't have any. Our attention is real scarce. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. You know what? I just forgot what you just said. That's how scarce it is. So that goes to show you that something is going on mm-hmm. in the Western mind that we can't pay attention for very long. They got this thing called the elevator speech. You ever heard that before?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you and I have talked about it. It's supposed to be like, what, like a 2 minute?
Well, actually, that's too long. My God.
Oh, no.
Elevator speech is supposed to be like 30 seconds.
Oh, it's like a pitch. Though,
a pitch,
right?
Basically.
Yeah.
A pitch. So in the business world, they say you're supposed to have an elevator speech for whatever it is you do. So that means from the time you start, get in the elevator and go up to whatever floor you need to go to, you should be able to tell somebody what you do, who you are in your business, everything like that.
Wow.
30 seconds. Now tell me this. You felt that pause, right?
I did. I felt it.
Now tell me how crazy that is to mm-hmm. think that I'm going to tell you who I am, what I do, all that I've been through to get to where I am, mind you, in 30 seconds. Why? Because our attention is scarce. That's the Western mind. Mm. We don't have time. Mm. Right? Matter of fact, we need more time. Because our attention is scarce. All right? So that's the Western way of looking at it. All right? So there is no more adventure to be had out here. Because, you know, it's just like, you know, I don't have time for all that. That just seems so exhausting to me to talk about discovering something. I mean, I'm just going to go to Google. If I want to go do something, I'm going to watch somebody else do it on what? YouTube.
YouTube.
That's what they do. So there's no more adventure. I'm not going to do this. You think I'm going to the Grand Canyon? You think I'm going to do all this adventurous stuff? No, I'd rather watch it. I'd rather watch it on TV. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is like this, but I'm saying collectively, this is how we view the world, some of us. All right. And so, any type of meaningful spiritual pursuits, we are totally disillusioned by. Why? Because we have been so inundated with information that we feel I can take this or leave it. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With all that being said, we're very smart, though. No, I'm serious. We're intelligent. We have a lot of what they call business acumen. Okay. We're very shrewd. There's a $10 word for you, right?
Word.
So I lost about half of the crowd right there.
Listen, somebody told you if you keep using those words.
Well, hey, it is what it is. All right. I'm just trying to create a picture here. Okay. We're very smart, very clever, very shrewd in some regard, right? We got a lot of knowledge, I should say. People are very knowledgeable. I mean, I know some people probably thinking, well, not where I work at. But, you know, but we can access the information if we wanted to. If we don't know the information, we can find it out, right? But if we're so smart, why are we so depressed? Why are we so emotionally unstable? What do you think that is? A person that is not aware of their surroundings, a person that is lifeless, apathetic, completely unresponsive. What are we, metaphorically, what do we call that person?
We call them zombies.
We call these people zombies.
The walking dead.
All right. this is what I just described to you. What that's what metaphorically, mm-hmm. that's what a zombie is. Mm-hmm. A zombie is a person who is not aware of what's going on. They just going from day to day. Mm-hmm. All right. Routine life. There's no meaning here. I have to feed off of things in order to survive, mm-hmm. which we get the word consumer.
Oh, yeah. Consumer.
That's where we get the word consumer from, because that person that a consumer is a person who what feeds off of things. Mm-hmm. They just collect information.
Oh, yeah.
Always collecting information, always getting smarter. Mm-hmm. Don't have a regular conversation with nobody. Why? Because they trying to prove how smarter they are than you.
Oh, yeah. They want to be the smartest person in the room.
That's all it's about. And so that approach to life is something that has been passed down to us. Mm-hmm. So here's what I want to throw out there.
Okay.
Could it be that we have approached the most controversial, profound, ancient text known to man, like the zombie? Just feed me with more information. Could it be that we are simply offsprings of the society that has been passed down, the societal norms that has been passed down to us? There are about three particular people who really influence our understanding of the world and as it relates to the Western thought. All right. These three people mm-hmm. were one by the name of Socrates.
Okay.
The other by the name of Plato. And the other by the name of Aristotle. Now, Socrates was the forerunner to all three. All right. He influenced basically the other two. Mm-hmm. Plato was a student of Socrates. Aristotle was a student of Plato.
Therefore, he was the student of Socrates.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's how that worked.
Okay.
Now, here's a little food for thought. So if you hear anybody asking the why question, that's a very Socratic way of thinking. Socrates was the why man. He was always asking the question why. He always trained his students, ask the question why. So these were brilliant scholars. Mm-hmm. They used these three different fields of knowledge. Okay. Now I know this stuff may sound a little laborious, like, oh my God, please, what is this? What have I entered into? But the reason why we don't understand where we are, and the reason why we're so apathetic, because we don't know where we come from.
Right.
Especially in this Western context. Remember, I told you it's a diverse group. Mm-hmm. It's a evolving concept of being a Westerner. The perspectives are so complex and convoluted. Matter of fact, it's so diverse that there is no real true homogeny, you know, because you can go to another state. Matter of fact, you can go down the street and the people down the street think totally different than you.
Totally different. Mm-hmm.
We haven't settled on anything because we're always evolving. Very scientific. All right. Now, the scientific approach dates back, like I said before, to antiquity. Mm-hmm. That's when the Greek philosophy pretty much ruled the day. So three categories. The categories consist of logic, which means the mind, mm-hmm. physics, which means the body. Mm-hmm. And the last one is ethics, which means the soul.
Okay.
Mind, body, soul. That's how typically people think.
Okay.
Mind, body, soul.
Yes.
That's it. That's all you're going to get from me. Mind, body, soul. If it's not falling in one of those categories, then you know what? This doesn't what pertain to me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't pertain to me. And so this is what we are. All right. Now we have moved further down the road with our way of thinking, and we have entered into what some have called the Age of Enlightenment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the Age of Enlightenment is simply where intellectual and philosophical movements occurred.
Right.
People wanted to learn about the universe. They wanted to learn about the natural world, and they wanted to learn about the human body. Mm-hmm. All right. So all of this stuff is happening in our world and in our society, you know, around the 17th and 18th century. All right. So this stuff is happening and it's having global impact. I mean, you get philosophers like Rene Descartes. He came up with the quote, "I think, therefore I what?
I am." Oh, okay.
That's Descartes. Very rationalistic approach. Mm-hmm. Then you have people like Francis Bacon. He was the guy that came up with empirical knowledge. Empirical knowledge is, let's strip away the emotional component, right? Let's strip away any type of religious or spiritual, and let's just focus on observation. and experience. Let's observe something, let's experience it, and let's come up with our own conclusion.
Okay.
That's the empirical knowledge.
So
the
research, basically.
Basically, okay. Right? And then you have my the one and only. He probably is, in my opinion, he's probably one of the more renowned theorists, Mr. Charles Darwin. Mm-hmm. Now, we already know what Mr. Charles Darwin has introduced to the world, and that is the idea of evolution, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and we know that Charles Darwin literally, single-handedly, has brought or relegated the human being to just another beast roaming the earth. That we're just another primate. That's all. Do you see the matriculation of how we go from, we got the scientific approach and we're moving. Now the human is just an animal.
Right.
Just another animal. Right. And he or she should live out their animalistic instincts. All right. You see how this can affect how we not only view the world, but view others.
Yeah. And how we treat others.
And definitely. You see what I'm saying? Everything can be relegated back to the scientific method in the Western world. You can relegate it to business, social sciences. This is what this is how people come up with statistics and data to come up with assumptions and things of that nature to say, all right, this is why these things are like they are. Because of the research we have done. So first you got to have a problem.
Right.
You gotta be willing to ask a question, and you gotta have a problem. All right. And when you got that problem, there's your, okay. How do we solve this problem? Or how do we answer this question?
Right.
Well, we go into our prediction mode. What are some other theories that are out there that's already existing that we can pull from? All right. We go into this, what they call a hypothesis, which is what? Educated guess. I'm educating the people, and you don't even know it, Delisha.
Right.
I'm trying to educate the people out here so we can get to a full understanding of why things are like they are and how do we move forward from here. But see, people don't want this kind of stuff. Why? What did Michael Jackson say? Because this is the law. Okay, let me stop. Okay, anyway.
I was not expecting that.
You weren't expecting that. MJ tried to tell you, but no. So we go from hypothesis. All right. Now we got to find what we got to do. We got to research now.
Right.
All right. We research the information and we design it to be repetitious. Right. So we clean up the data. We find out the data. We clean it up because that's what the algorithm is for. We got to make it work for us. Right. Because we already came up with our hypothesis. Right. Then we got to conclude of the findings that we found. Right. Lastly, we got to give the results so people can judge to say, you know what? Hey, that sounds about right. You guys did all the hard work. That sounds about right. I think that sums it up. That's what that is. So let's just move on.
Move on to the next.
Now,
question.
Some people call that. Here it is. Some people call that social engineering. I mean, in some regard, it's very scientific. You know what I mean? It's very scientific.
Yeah.
And this is not a political channel. It's just this is how things are. This is how the Western world somewhat works overall, you know? And so this type of way of existing, it leads with a list of information. All right. And this approach, it falls short to really show us and tell us why things are like they are. It really falls short.
Yeah, because like you said, you have to clean up the data, which means that the things that fall outside of what people think.
Yes.
They're going to do away with those.
No, don't even exist.
And they're often not even. If you're talking about reading actual research,
yeah,
those things are not even mentioned,
no,
really,
truly. At all. You don't even know.
Fall outside of the data that are outside of the assumption.
To the victor goes the spoils. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The one who controls the discourse controls the narrative. You see what I'm saying? So you see, if you are not a person, and I'm talking to my listeners, who's ever out there, I don't know where you're at, and if you're listening or not. If you, all right, are following along with the narrative that has been presented to you, you will never really truly see the full narrative of why things are like they are.
I agree. I mean, we see it daily in politics.
Yes.
In the idea that people have around schooling, public schooling.
Yeah, all that. I mean, whatever you name it.
Yeah, it's in several different places.
Yeah, it's the Western thought. Now, I'm not saying that we are any worse than anybody else. I'm just saying I can only speak out of the context in which I live out of. I can't speak out of any other context but the context I live out of. All right. Mm-hmm. So I don't have anything else for anybody else. But I can say that here in the West, if you are existing in the West, this is what you are being inundated with every single day of your life. And it's become so normalized. Mm-hmm. All right. I feel my volume going up. What is that in speech therapy? What is that in speech therapy when your volume goes up? I don't know.
Volume.
Okay. That is okay. What it's called. Okay. Yeah. So let me calm down. Let me calm back down. Mm-hmm. So this is where we are. And if you are not aware of it, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you'll start functioning just like that metaphorical zombie. Mm-hmm. You'll start functioning like that. You will become unaware mm-hmm. of what's going on. And matter of fact, you will become, you know how on the movies, in those Walking Dead movies,
yeah.
If you get bit by one of them, mm-hmm. you what?
You become like them.
You become like them. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that we're out here trying to be revolutionists. I'm just trying to say, look, things are like they are for a reason. Mm-hmm. All right. Now that I gave you that, let's really quickly, briefly. All right. And I'm going to try my best to get through. All right. Now that we understand the Western way of living, the Western thought, let's see if we can ascertain something from the Eastern thought, or not only that, some would even say the ancient civilization. Mm-hmm. All right. Why do I say ancient civilization? Because the Eastern world, mm-hmm. all right, is known as, here it is, the Orient. I'm trying to educate y'all out here. Y'all ain't giving no love. Look, the Orient. What does the Orient mean? What it comes from a Latin term. It comes from a Latin term that means origin.
Okay, so origination, like where things begin.
There you go. So mm-hmm. that's why they call, whenever you hear somebody talking about the Orient, they're talking about the East. Mm-hmm. Because this is where ancient civilization originated from. Mm-hmm. Stay with me. The Latin term, mm-hmm. it means origin, sunrise, and East. Mm-hmm. What does the West mean?
Sunset. And
the West means sunset, and the East means what?
Sunrise.
So what are you seeing here? I want you to think symbolically. Don't think scientifically. Don't go analyzing. See that? See how it is? Look here. We just did a test run right here on live podcast.
And you know, my mind can be logical.
Yeah, very. Because you have been conditioned to be that way. All right. Mm-hmm. So I said that the West simply meant, in the Latin, it means sunset. Mm-hmm. The East, I'm talking symbolically now, it's mm-hmm. just symbols. Mm-hmm. The East means sunrise. Mm-hmm. All right. So everything started
in the East.
And it's now who is really, let's just go ahead and be honest.
Okay.
Who's really running the show out here, though?
In what? What do you mean?
I'm saying literally, how does the world get its marching orders?
From the West.
From the West.
Yeah.
Sun what? Set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It started in the East mm-hmm. and looks like the West is bringing it home. Sunset. Mm. You see that?
Yeah.
You see how that works symbolically? So that's, I'm just saying, think along those lines, because this civilization, as we know it, all right, the ancient civilization dates back, here it is, 4 to 6,000 years. Ooh. Oh my, like, I don't know about you, but wait a minute. So that means that before our forefathers, which is the Roman, Greco, Greek, you know, mm-hmm. that worldview, mm-hmm. before them, there was a civilization that had been in existence over 2,000 years before they came on the scene.
Wow.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Imagine somebody living 2,000 years longer than you.
I can't even.
What? You can't even fathom that. I mean, what does that tell?
I don't know what the world was like then.
You see what I'm saying? What does that tell you? That tells me that these people were the originators, right, of how they understood, you know, ancient civilization, mm-hmm. right? Now, I'm not saying that they were better than us or we're better than them. That's not the point. But before our forefathers, the Greek and Roman people, mm-hmm. we had these people who lived in that area called ancient Mesopotamia. All right. and ancient Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia simply means the land between the rivers.
Okay.
What river are we talking about? The Euphrates and the Tigris River.
Okay.
Why by the river? Why? Because that's where the water is. That's the vegetation. That's how you survive. You're in the desert.
Yeah.
All right. You got to stay next to the water. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And also Egypt as well. Mm-hmm. So these people were really the first ancient civilization. All right. Which tells me that they had a worldview. They had a way, because we are in the West. We view the world a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they view the world a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So each human society and culture has its own special way of viewing the world.
Mm-hmm.
That goes without saying. One way people have examined the ancient world is they study their beliefs. And in their beliefs, they showed what the people, you know, how the people pretty much live their life based off of what they believe. All right. So how did they do this? How did they study their beliefs? I mean, can we go talk to the people?
No, of course not.
All right. You want to do some seances?
Definitely.
You want to pull up? You want to pull up Genghis Khan and you want to pull up these folk?
I'm good.
You want to pull up the folks from the East and find out how they thought? No,
not at all.
We can't do that. But there's one way we can do it, though. You know what that way is? We can study what they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote on what? Clay tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And these clay tablets were called, I'm headed home. Hieroglyphics.
Yes.
And what are hieroglyphics? They are what? Symbols. They're called pictographs.
Mm-hmm.
They're symbols. They're not words because we didn't get to script yet.
Right.
We're not at script. We're pictograph. This is how the culture, they created symbols. And the symbols, and guess what the symbols were doing? The symbols were telling a what?
A story.
A story.
Mm-hmm.
The symbols were telling a story of what was going on. What they believed. This is how things were done back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Storytelling. They told stories. They told stories. And from this concept, this is how they understood the world. Okay. And I said before that each human society and culture has its own way of basically viewing the world. All right. And this is how they viewed it, through storytelling. So these stories were written on stone tablets or clay tablets. Which were pictographic symbols,
mm-hmm.
which provided symbolic explanation of their lives. So this style of writing, now, according to, now you want to fact check me because we want to make sure everything is, you know, on up and up and legit. Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a very well-known dictionary.
Yes.
This is what that style of writing was called, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It or who it belonged to.
Mm-hmm.
It belonged to a subfamily. Here it is, in the Afro-Asiatic language family, including, here it is, Hebrew,
right,
Aramaic,
mm-hmm.
Arabic, and Iapic or Ethiopic, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which we get, here it is, the Semitic languages.
Mm.
That's where we get the Semitic languages from. Okay. From this subfamily. All right. Because they were the what? First civilization. So as a result, all right, and I'm bringing it home for those of you who's sticking along here long enough, all right. As a result, the classical or imperial Aramaic language of that day was spoken by the Persians, the Babylonians, and the Assyrian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
The main language, which was, I should say, the main language of, guess who? The Hebrew people.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was an ancient Hebrew because he spoke what?
Aramaic.
Follow me, folks. One of the greatest discoveries in the 21st century was the Dead Sea Scrolls. All right. Mm-hmm. Archaeologically speaking.
Right.
It was one of the greatest discoveries. Why? And what did it have in the Dead Sea Scrolls? Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that shows me that the ancient people of that day, all of them shared a common worldview. And how they view the world is through the narrative form. It's through how we tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this stuff we see in the Hebrew Bible.
Right.
The Hebrew Bible always talked about the stories. Mm-hmm. That's how the people were able to be a nation and a people, because they told what? The stories of what happened in their history.
And God even, I guess you could say, encouraged them to write those things down. to tell them to their children.
Yes, yes.
To rehearse them so that those are things that could be passed down.
Exactly. Passed down. All right. Now, to the scientific mind, that is counterintuitive. To tell me a story is to try to put me what? To sleep. Why? Because that's why they call it what? Lullabies. And what do lullabies do?
Get you go right to sleep.
They put you to sleep.
Lull you to sleep.
Lull you right to sleep. You see what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So that most ancient text, most profound text, controversial text known to man that has revolutionized the world. Check this out. Was composed of 502 chapters, which is 43% of the entire book, was written in a narrative form like a story.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Do you understand why we have come up with so many wrong conclusions? Do you know you understand why so much weird stuff has happened based off of this one book?
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Because we are trying to understand this thing from a scientific, from our forefathers, and it wasn't even written from their perspective.
Right.
It was written from the ancient civilization perspective. In their world, they knew that things are not quite what it seems. That there are things happening in your life, and I'm talking to my listeners out there and those who are viewing, that there are things happening in your life that if you do not understand that there is a certain story being told about you, there is a certain narrative going on in your life, there are certain instances that happen in your life that are unique to you that gives you a sense of purpose and destiny, right? To help you understand that, you know what? My life is not a mistake. Although, you know, they want to analyze and put data on me and to say that
statistics
and statistics to say that I'm this, I'm that, I'm supposed to be this. This is your destiny. See that when you don't, when you live your life out of that narrative, guess what? You are relegated to that narrative. That's why we want to help our listeners to help you understand that. Look, your life is more valuable than a list of information. All right. It's more valuable than that. And God wants us to understand that. Look, that there is some discovery about you that you haven't even come into. You haven't even come into yet. But we think scientifically about everything, that whenever somebody tries to come to us and tell us that there's something more and there's something more meaningful, you know what? We turn into what? The zombie. And now we go on mystic now. Right. We go mystic. We go new age. Right. Because we think, oh, we want to think like the people of the East. I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but that Bible was written as a narrative. And that narrative is being told every single day. And so what we want to do here, and you want to add something to that?
I was going to ask you about your personal experience and in your switching of your mindset.
Yes.
You, I mean, obviously in studying, in reading, you came to realize that you had a certain mindset and that it needed to switch for you to be able to live out, I mean, live your life faithfully.
Yeah.
How was that switch for you? Like, is it something that automatically things that come in now are filtered through a certain filter?
That's good. That sounds like a question for another episode. Please come and join us again for our next episode of the Manifold Witness podcast. We thank you guys for coming. You newcomers out there, we thank you guys for joining us. And we like to say, until we meet again, love, joy, and peace.